endless nights studying, busy days applying what you've learned, and some might say you're really determined to get an A in that class. But if they knew what you were working on, they'd get it. It's not just about your GPA, it's about finding your purpose and making a difference. At the University of Dayton, we don't just fly, we soar. This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and you guessed it, I'm your host, April. If you're a returning listener and a part of the Teachable Moments with April podcast family, welcome back. For those who are checking me out for the first time, well, hello and welcome. To everyone listening, be encouraged and look for the teachable moments that are all around us. Enjoy. This is your host, April, from Teachable Moments with April podcast. In this episode of Empowerment and Character Building, we'll be listening to some excerpts from Amazon audiobook by Patricia Davis, Disciplined for Success, Harnessing the Power of Self-Control. Empowerment and Character Building. Disciplined for Success, Harnessing the Power of Self-Control by Patricia Davis. Available on Amazon.com or wherever audiobooks are sold. So today, this Thursday, we're going to look at Chapter 2, actually, starting on page 10. In Chapter 2, we will be discussing the importance of setting specific and achievable goals. Setting goals is a vital part of self-discipline and self-improvement, as it gives you a clear direction and purpose. Now, let's take the example of Jane. Okay, she's a fictional character who has always struggled with discipline. And Jane has always had a hard time sticking to a workout routine and a healthy diet. She would start off strong, but would quickly lose motivation and she just give up. Now one day, Jane decided that she wanted to change her habits and improve her discipline. She sat down and set specific and achievable goals for herself. She decided that she wanted to lose weight, she wanted to lower her blood pressure, and increase her energy levels. So once she set her goal, she made a plan of action. She created a workout routine that she could stick to and scheduled specific times to exercise. She also made a meal plan that was both healthy and very satisfying. She also found an accountability partner, which is a friend who also wanted to improve her discipline, and they supported each other in their journey. Now, as Jane started working towards her goals, she realized that discipline was not about, as we've said, perfection. It's about the other P word, progress. She found that by setting specific and achievable goals, making a plan of action, and having an accountability partner, she was able to stick to her workout routine and healthy diet. Now, with discipline and perseverance, Jane was able to reach her goals, and she felt a sense of accomplishment and pride. She realized that discipline was not about, as we've said, about punishment. It was about empowerment, not punishment. It was about empowerment. So I want you guys to remember that. So in this chapter, we're discussing the importance of setting specific and achievable goals, okay? And I want you guys to remember also, it's about how it relates to self-discipline and self-improvement. Okay, I want you guys to also remember that we are using a real-life example of a fictional character, Jane, to illustrate how setting specific and achievable goals can help to improve discipline. We are showing how Jane was able to overcome her struggles with discipline by setting specific and achievable goals, creating a plan of action, and finding someone to hold her accountable. Now, we also emphasize that discipline is not about perfection, and that it's not a punishment, but a tool, okay? In addition to setting specific and achievable goals, another important aspect of self-discipline and self-improvement is breaking down your goals into smaller, manageable steps. By breaking down your goals into smaller steps, you can create a plan of action that is easier to follow, and you can track your progress more easily, okay? So now, for example, here's an example, guys. If your goal is to run a marathon, okay, you may break it down into smaller steps such as, okay, start with a 30-minute walk 3 times a week. Increase the time spent walking gradually to 40 minutes, and then up it 4 times a week. Then you can start jogging for 15 minutes twice a week. Then you can increase the time spent jogging to 20 minutes 3 times a week. Then start running for 30 minutes, let's say 4 times a week, and then continue to increase running, okay? The running time and distance until you're able to actually achieve running in a marathon or something close to that, or some type of close proximity of that, okay? By breaking down your goals into smaller steps, you can create a plan of action that is more manageable and it really less overwhelming. Okay, so we're working for success and progress. You don't want to set yourself up for failure. Okay, this is about achieving this. Okay, it also allows you to track your progress and see how far you've come. Okay, which can be very motivating. Okay, and another important aspect of self-discipline and self-improvement is having an accountability partner that we talked about already. Now, let's just go over again, just remind ourselves what that may mean. An accountability partner is someone who can share your goals and progress with, and who will support you and hold you accountable. For example, you could share your goals and progress with a friend or family member. We talked about that already. Or you can hire a coach or a therapist. Now, having an accountability partner can be very beneficial as it helps to keep you motivated and keep you on track, which is what you want, okay? Now, as you continue to work on developing self-discipline and self-improvement, it's important to keep in mind that it's not a one-time event. We want you to remember, this is a lifestyle, okay? It's not a one-time thing, it's a lifestyle. You're in it to win it. Self-discipline and self-improvement are ongoing processes that require consistent effort and consistent dedication, okay? All right, so to maintain self-discipline, it's important to set aside time each day to work on your goals and improve your habits, okay? This could be as simple as setting aside 10 minutes each day to, let's say, meditate, or 30 minutes to exercise, okay? The important thing is to make it a consistent part of your daily routine, lifestyle, routine. Practice. Okay. It's also important to remember that self-discipline is not about being strict or rigid. Okay. It's about being intentional and focused in your actions. It's about making conscious decisions about how you want to live your life and taking the necessary steps to make it happen. Okay. Now, one of the best ways to maintain self-discipline is by surrounding yourself with, all right, are you ready for this? Positive and supportive people. Being around people who inspire and motivate you, who understand and support what you're trying to do, your goals, can help you to stay on track and maintain your discipline. Additionally, it's important to be kind and compassionate with yourself. Remember that discipline is a skill that takes time and effort to develop, as we've already established. Now, if you slip up, like we said, or make mistakes, don't beat yourself up. Instead, what do? Use it as an opportunity to do what? Learn and grow. Now, also in this chapter, chapter 2, we're going to delve deeper into the psychological and physiological aspects of self-discipline, okay? So first, let's talk about the psychological aspect of self-discipline. Self-discipline is closely related to self-regulation, okay, which is the ability to control one's thoughts, emotions, and actions, and we've touched on that in chapter one. Now, when we have self-discipline, we're able to, set goals, make plans, and take actions toward achieving our goals. Now, self-regulation is closely related to executing and functioning, okay, which is a set of cognitive abilities that are responsible for certain actions such as planning, initiating, and monitoring one's actions. And these abilities include working your memory, your cognitive flexibility, and inhibitory control, okay, in case you didn't know that. Now, working memory is the ability to hold information in mind for a very short period of time, which is essential. It's essential for planning and initiating actions. Now, cognitive flexibility is the ability to adapt to changing situations, that's a part of life, and think about problems in different ways, which is essential for problem solving and decision making. Okay, try to remember that. Problem solving and decision making. Now, inhibitory control is the ability to resist temptations and distractions, which is essential for what? Self-discipline. Now, let's talk about the physiological aspect of self-discipline. Now, self-discipline is closely related to self-regulation, okay? Remember what we said about self-regulation. It is the ability to control one's thoughts, emotions, and actions. And when we have self-discipline, we are able to set goals, make plans, and take action towards achieving our goals. So now, here's a little bit more about self-regulation, okay? Self-regulation is closely related to the prefrontal cortex. We touched on that in chapter one, which is the part of the brain that is responsible for executive functioning. The prefrontal cortex is responsible for planning, remember, initiating, and monitoring one's actions. And it is also responsible for regulating your emotions and your impulses. Now, in addition to the prefrontal cortex, okay, self-regulation is also closely related to the anterior cortex and the insula. The anterior cortex is responsible for conflict resolution, which is essential for self-discipline. The insula, I-N-S-U-L-A, is responsible for interception, which, if you don't know what that is the ability to sense the internal state of the body, such as, let me give you an example, such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Now, let me tell you, research has shown that self-discipline is closely related to the activity of the prefrontal cortex, the anterior cortex, and the insula. Now, when these areas of the brain are activated, we are more likely to be self-disciplined and to make better choices or good choices and decisions. Now, self-discipline is related to both, like we said, psychological and physiological aspects. And on the psychological side of this, self-discipline is related to self-regulation, as we said, and executive functioning. Okay, so keep that in mind. Self-discipline, self-regulation, executive functioning. And executive functioning, which are cognitive abilities that allow us to set our goals, make plans, and take action toward achieving our goals. I just want you guys to remember, and I want to reiterate that the physiological side, okay, of self-discipline, is related to the activity of your prefrontal cortex, okay, the anterior cortex and the insula, which are the parts of the brain that are responsible for self-regulation and decision-making, okay. It's also important to note that self-discipline can be trained and strengthened. Okay, I just want to reiterate that too, just like a muscle, okay? And I don't think that we're, you know, that removed from it when people have said, I've heard people say that your brain is a muscle and it must be used as a muscle. And if you don't use it, basically you lose it, right? Okay. So it says here, by consistently practicing self-discipline, we can improve our executive functioning and self-regulation abilities, which in turn can help us to achieve the goals that we want and to actually get the life that we actually are desiring. Okay. So I want to share some more about the research that is out there. It says research has shown that practicing self-discipline can lead to a variety of benefits, such as improved academic performance, better health outcomes, and greater life satisfaction. And who doesn't need more of that, right? So for example, students, okay, who have higher levels of self-discipline tend to have better grades and test scores than those who have lower levels, you know, of self-discipline. Additionally, people who have higher levels of self-discipline tend to have better physical outcomes. They have lower blood pressure. They have lower body mass index. They have lower cholesterol levels. They also tend to have better mental health outcomes, okay? Which means lower levels of stress and anxiety. It is also important, and I want to stress this, it's important to note that self-discipline is not the same as self-control, okay? Let me say it again. That self-discipline is not the same as self-control. Self-control, what is it? Okay, it's the ability to resist temptations and distractions, which while self-discipline on the other end of the spectrum is the ability to set the goals, to make the plans, and take actions toward achieving your goals. Now, both self-control and self-discipline are important for this communal, they're coming together like a little marriage there for achieving your goals, but they are different abilities. Now, self-control is more about resisting, okay, temptations, while self-discipline is more about taking action, okay, toward the goals that we're talking about, whatever it is that your goals are. And as we delve deeper into the psychological and physiological aspects of self-discipline, it's important to note that it has been studied extensively by many, many researchers and scientists. And studies have shown that self-discipline is a complex phenomena that is influenced by a variety of factors, including genetics, environment, and personal experiences. And when we meet again, we will continue this conversation about those things: genetics, environment, and personal experiences. Unleash Your Potential with Power of Self-Discipline. About the author. Patricia Davis is the author of Discipline for Success, Harnessing the Power of Self-Control. She is a renowned life coach, motivational speaker, and yoga instructor. She will guide you on a transformative journey to cultivate discipline and unlock the door to personal and professional success. Drawing from over 15 years of experience in life coaching and Eastern spiritual practices, Patricia presents an inspiring blend of science, spirituality, and personal development. This book will empower you to break free from the barriers that limit your potential and provide practical and actionable steps to instill discipline in every aspect of your life. Buy today on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Ever inspired by the people and passions of the community it calls home, the University of Louisville is committed to opening wide the doors of opportunity, pursuing knowledge and innovation to build a stronger tomorrow, and empowering a bold new generation of leaders, one every bit as ambitious as it is diverse. Together, Cardinals are helping a better world take flight here and beyond. Discover more at louisville.edu. You were
just listening to Teachable Moments with April podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. We invite you to stay connected with us on the other social media platforms of ours, which is TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Also, we'd like to invite you to check out our official podcast landing page on podpage.com/teachablemomentswithapril to see all our content in one place and leave personal messages, feedback, and more.